Well, good morning, Christ the Rock. So good to be here again with you. For those who don't know, I'm Pastor Marcus, and the pleasure is all mine. Last week, we started a brand new series, The Heart of Worship, and really excited to continue on in this second week today. We're going to pick up where we left off. Last week, we defined what true worship really meant, according to God's Word. But today, we want to see some of the ways in which we actually worship. And I'll just give you a heads up, they're not all limited to music. So you're going to realize that before the hour is over this morning. But I just want to start by picking in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul is giving the church a direct command, and he simply says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And so that has been one of our key verses thus far in this new series. But when he says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, one of the things I want you to get right away is that he was addressing different kinds of people in one setting, knowing that they each came from a different background. Some liked psalms, perhaps some liked spiritual songs, and the others wanted hymns. But he says, I want all of these. And so we see from God's word that there's an avenue of unity here to be taken. And so this morning, I'd like to teach you on psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and then we're going to get into the rest of our service. What exactly is a psalm? We can look it up and say it this way, that a psalm is a sacred song or poem used in worship. The book of Psalms is about 150 of them, individual psalms. They're a collection of songs that were written under the direction of the Holy Spirit by ancient Jewish leaders, such as David, Moses, Solomon. And these inspired songs were part of the Hebrew Scriptures, and they were used at that time during their times of corporate worship. Just like this morning, you've come in together. We come in together as a family of God, and we worship together. This is what they did at that time, and so we do likewise. Mark 12 says, David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. So where does Mark get that passage from? He takes it from the book of Psalms in 110, where it says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So we see from these two passages that David the psalmist was actually inspired of the Holy Spirit to be able to write the psalms that we so easily and conveniently can just leaf through in our Bibles. What is the purpose of the psalm? The purpose of the psalm is this. They're scripture that connects the believer's head to his heart. And they are a unique presentation of different kinds of poems when that happens. Most of scripture, it delivers a word from God to mankind as we read through the Bible. We see most of scripture that way. But here in the book of Psalms, we actually see man being able to respond, being able to worship, being able to talk back to the Lord and in an emotional way. And so psalms provide man with spirit-inspired words to pray and to sing to God. They also allow us to reflect on life and express through song the realities of our lives. We not only can read the psalms, but we can also pray them. And we can sing them like we've done this morning, but we can even praise God with them. Many of our modern worship songs that are written today are based on the psalms. And when we sing them, remember, we're actually singing God's word. That's huge because in a relationship with Jesus Christ himself, with God, our Lord, our Creator, we have to have opportunities to be able to be real. And guess what? He invites that. He wants that for each one of you in this room this morning. He wants that for my life and yours, that we would come to him with all that we have, all that we're dealing with, everything that we're doing, and we'd make it known to him. Even though he already knows about it, he wants us to voice it to him. Another way in which we can worship that we see from this scripture is through hymns. Remember, it says through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, what is a hymn? A hymn is a song of praise or a song of joy to God. And the purpose of a hymn is this. It's a specifically written piece of work that is for the purpose of adoration or prayer. Specifically written for the purpose of adoration or prayer. In a couple of days, many of you are going to celebrate what we call Valentine's Day, and you have a Valentine, and so you're already charged up. You've got your big box of chocolates. If you don't, if you go to aisle G32 at Walmart, there they are. They even have them half off probably by now. So that is for the one that you simply adore. So ladies, if you want to adore your husbands, buy him something that he can work with his hands. And guys, flatter him with flowers and dinner and chocolates, I would say. But either way, you're adoring the one that you really appreciate and that you love. Well, here in the same way, a hymn allows us to do that. It allows us to simply lavish our love on our Creator through times of adoration and prayer. Why do we sing hymns? I just want to point out a couple of places here. Hymns, the reason we do them, because God's Word instructs us to do so. We saw that in Ephesians 5:19, and I won't read it again, but it's up there for you to look. But they're also full of theological text, and Christ himself modeled the singing of hymns. If we look at Scripture, he talks about it after the Last Supper. Jesus and his disciples, they sang a hymn. They were having the Last Supper, having communion. And in Matthew 26, where it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So if Christ actually could do that, we definitely can do that. Amen? And that's where we see that. Hymns also help us to praise God. They give us times to connect our hearts into God and anthems of praise. They also help us to pray. Sometimes we simply cannot put into words what we're actually feeling as human beings. I don't know if you've ever been through a situation in life where someone's passed, maybe a family member, a friend, or someone's at the hospital going through something you didn't expect, just something that's a surprise altogether. And how do you deal with that moment of time when you're struggling and you're high in emotions and you're like, God, I'm just trusting you. I don't know what to do here. Well, in those times, I have found sometimes the simplest thing of a hymn can get me through. My mother's favorite hymn back in the day when she was still with us was, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. She would wash dishes and just sing that over herself over and over again. And I would hear that as a kid growing up, and I knew that she was talking to God through that hymn where she maybe couldn't herself. So they help us to pray. And examples of that would be the hymn, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, or the one we sing here, Lord, I Need You. Hymns also encourage us. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, it says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Think about that for a minute. We just sing a song, just think about it, just think about it. God is on the throne. It's about his love. But because of God's great love, the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a reason to rejoice. Because if we got what we deserved, we'd be consumed. Amen? But it says further in that verse, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And the hymn that I love that celebrates that verse is, Great is thy faithfulness. And then hymns connect generations. And at Christ the Rock, you'll see someone that doesn't look like you. Some are older, some are younger, some are in between, right? But we have a plethora of all kinds of generations represented in this room this morning. And what I love about hymns is that both present day and past, they unite us as a community of Christ followers. Somewhere across the world today, in another part of this world, there are people who are believers in Jesus, just like yourselves, who are celebrating God's presence through a hymn. I think that's pretty cool. And so examples of those hymns would be A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, Blessed Assurance, Amazing Grace, 10,000 Reasons, Cornerstone, and the list goes on and on and on. So now there was a third entity in that phrase, in that verse, that Paul commanded the church to do. Psalms, hymns, and then spiritual songs, or some translations say songs from the Spirit. And what exactly is a spiritual song from the Spirit? Well, a spiritual song is where Christian believers are to express their faith in the song. They're not just saying or singing any type of song, but the songs that they sing have to be spiritual for them to be called a spiritual song. And so they have to be based in God's Word. Colossians 3:16 lets me know by this, they're saying, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and as you admonish or encourage one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So with thankfulness in our hearts, with appreciation, we ought to be singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And some of the ways in which we use spiritual songs, even here at Christ the Rock, are these. We want to have spiritual songs that teach us biblical doctrine. In other words, the inerrancy of God's word, the perfectness of it, that teaches sound biblical doctrine. Not just any song that gets me a warm and fuzzy and makes me feel good, all that kind of thing, appealing to my emotions necessarily, but something that's going to teach me to trust in God, to follow God, and to live for God. Spiritual songs encourage the body of Christ, or they prompt others towards love and good works. When it is something of God, and He has ordained it in the form of a spiritual song, it's not going to just connect with me, but it's going to connect with more than myself, with you as well. And so it's going to be something that unifies the body of Christ, brings us together in God's love. And then spiritual songs exalt the greatness and the power of God. They express the joy of one's salvation, and they can even embrace the grace of Christ. An example of that kind of a song would be The Goodness of God. We sang that last weekend here. It's an incredible example of a spiritual song. So now what I'd like to do is to kind of transition a little bit. I've asked the worship team to come out this morning and assist me on this part of our service. And I actually want to take you through each one of these that we just mentioned. What is a psalm? What is a hymn? And what is a spiritual song in real time? Would that be all right? So to do that, I'm going to go ahead and make my way back to the platform. And before I do so, there's a verse on the screen that she's going to put up for me. And it's called Psalm 42. If we could just put that up there. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. But why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. So what is that scripture verse teaching me this morning? David was a real man, just like myself. He had real emotions, real needs. And in his place of worship, he knew to cry out to God in those times of emotional distress. And many of you in this room this morning are carrying some heaviness, things that are not so convenient right now. And God is inviting you, bring it to me, cry out to me. And this psalm is a psalm of lament. And as I said earlier, it allows us to vent our emotions to a holy God. I think it's incredible that we get that opportunity. So this morning, as you're sitting in your seats, there's an incredible psalm that was written in the 80s. And it's taken from this portion of scripture. And the title of the song is called As the Deer. And so I want us to worship God with our whole being this morning, as we've been taught, in spirit and in truth, and focus upon what that psalm is actually saying. And before we do that, just go ahead and read through it one more time for yourselves, if you could just put it back on the screens. As the deer pants for the water.
To thee, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
You alone are my heart.
My shield. desire and I long to worship thee.
That's so beautiful that the psalmist could give the foundation for a modern day writer to put that into words for us to worship in song this morning. Amen. Let me share a story with you here as we move along. One of the hymns that we enjoy singing, not just here, but throughout our lifetime, this hymn is so popular. But there's a story behind the hymn that it really came about through tragedy. The writer of the hymn, his name is Horatio Spafford. Back in the 1800s, he was a Presbyterian, devout Christian from Chicago, and a successful attorney, successful real estate businessman. Had a lot going for him and was blessed with a beautiful family. And his close friends were the evangelist of that time, Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody, also from Chicago. And so when the Great Chicago Fire consumed the Windy City in 1871, Horatio lost his entire fortune. And he invested heavily, like I said, in real estate, but he lost everything overnight. And his son also died a short time, right before the financial disaster occurred. But the worst was still to come. Couldn't even imagine what was going to happen next. He wanted to simply join and assist D.L. Moody on one of his evangelistic meetings. And so D.L. Moody and his musician established a meeting over in Great Britain. And Spafford had planned on joining them in a trip, but he wanted to bring his family with them. So in November of that year, he had unexpected last-minute business that kind of kept him from being able to leave entirely as a family unit. So he sent them ahead of time and said, "I'll join you." And he had his wife and his four daughters go ahead. And they were scheduled on the French ship liner and expected to follow in a few days was Horatio Spafford. But on November 22nd, the ship that his wife and four daughters were on collided with an English sailing vessel. And the ship was sunk within 2 hours.
And the story goes to say that loved ones fell from each other's grasp into the black icy foam of the ocean. 226 fatalities, including his four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie. And then Mrs. Spafford was found just nearly alive. She was unconscious, clinging to a piece of the wreckage. And when 47 survivors landed in Wells, she cabled her husband, saved alone. Spafford left immediately to join his wife, and the hymn is said to have been penned as he approached that same area, body of water in the ocean, where it was thought that the ship who carried his daughters and his wife had sunk. Well, that hymn would come about a little later. He would go home and pen to these words what we sing throughout all of our many generations: "It is well with my soul." What a tragedy. But the fact of the matter is that he had a relationship with God, that he knew he could go seek God. And in his hour of distress, God gave him this hymn to encourage him, like it's encouraged us this morning. Let's sing together now, "It is well with my soul."
dwell with my soul.
An incredible story of faith. Amen. Amen. Yes. So we've demonstrated what a psalm is together through As the Deer, and now just with it as well, with a hymn. And so that in that same list that Paul gives us is a spiritual psalm. And this is one we do a lot here at Christ the Rock. It's one of your favorites. And I believe that's one of God's. Amen. In that song, there's certain phrases that I just like to pick apart a little bit. There's a phrase in there that says a battle cry. And what exactly do we mean when we say battle cry? Like, you can come beat Pastor Marcus up? No, that's not what it means. A battle cry is an alarm of war to our enemy. It ushers in God's presence and it destroys the enemy's circle that surrounds you. Isaiah 42 says, the Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. And there's another phrase in this song that says, hallelujah. We hear that a lot, even in the title. What does it mean when we say hallelujah? Simply this, praise the Lord. Can you say it? Praise the Lord. Yeah. It comes from the Hebrew phonetic halal. And it simply is a shout or a song of praise and thanksgiving. And many times you'll hear it being uttered in worship, expressing somebody's rejoicing. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. But let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's pretty important that he wants you to praise the Lord, as Psalmist David says, amen? So we're going to do that in a moment. But there's something else in this song that we see ourselves doing. We lift our hands, we clap our hands. Why do we do that here at Christ the Rock? Three main reasons. Psalm 134 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. So our worship center is the sanctuary. So now we know we can lift our hands up in the worship center. Psalm 47 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. So that's why we clap. And in 1 Timothy 2, he says, therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or without disputing. Those are solid enough reasons for me to understand the essence of why we lift our hands, we raise our hands, we clap our hands. And so in this song that says, raise a hallelujah. Now you know why that is. When you say the term hallelujah, you're saying praise the Lord. So guess what? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Those who want to, you've been commanded to, go ahead and clap unto the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Lift your hands unto the holy God. As we sing, raise a hallelujah. Let a mighty roar of praise be realized in this place.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I love when we get to come together as the body of Christ and declare his praises. Amen. And so right before I have you sit down, let's just do one more. And it's just your voices alone on the classic hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. I just want us to sing unto God this morning with our eyes on him and our attention on him. Amen.
Holy, 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 Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated.